Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Hi, everybody. Mark Giangreco here. Yeah, I'm back. But just to remind you that Chicago Cut Steakhouse reopens its doors April 1st. No fooling. April 1st. I'll be at my table, Dover Sole, Dirty Martini. Stop by and say hi. Or if there's room, hey, we'll pull up a chair. And now that I have a lot of extra time on my hands, that might just be my new office. Chicago Cut, reopening April 1st. Make your reservations now.
There he is, Mark Giangreco, with that post. Actually, I think Chicago Cut Steakhouse put that post up about Mark Giangreco, who hasn't been speaking out since, publicly at least, since leaving ABC7. Was off air since late January, actually, when he jokingly referred to news anchor Cheryl Burton as someone who could play the ditzy, combative interior decorator as part of a kind of a, he was joking about a sports clip and then said, well, she, you know, here's a great idea. We could do this in this hypothetical show and you could play that role. Yeah. That was in the crosstalk on air at Channel 7. He's been off the air ever since, and now they're parting ways after nearly three decades on the air. He is loved in this town, and I don't think anybody wanted to see it go down like this. Rick Tallender wrote a piece about it all in the Sun Times about Giangreco. How are you, Rick? How you doing?
I'm good, Anna. I mean, I got to tell you, I chuckled when I heard Mark doing that ad. I have a lot of free time on my hands, so come and sit down with me. Have a martini and stick.
Yeah, I mean,
this is Mark, isn't it?
It is Mark. It's the fun-loving things and the things that kept him on air for so many years and loved in this town for decades. And I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And you sort of, your piece sums it up really well, I think, because you talk about, hey, words matter. And you go back and you look at the different sportscasters over time and people in the sports world who, you know, have taken some chances and crossed the line and paid a price for it.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I pointed out was that I think all of us in this business, if you're in the media in any way, you worry about what you might say and what you might do that might offend somebody. It might not be offensive when you say it. It might be offensive a week later, you know, and certainly a couple of years later. I go back and look at literature. Oh, my God. I mean, I've got some of the Hemingway books might get banned nowadays. I wonder about Huckleberry Finn. I reread a story by Joseph Conrad, a novella, and I can't even say the name of it on air. So it's really like a kind of almost like a minefield. And the thing about Mark, you know, he's a comedian. I mean, he's funny. If people watched him on air, because you just got 3.5 minutes, right, to talk about sports, and you wait until the end what he might say that's kind of funny or wise guy. And that whole show, they used to do that. Wasn't Jerry Taft the weatherman on that channel?
Yeah, for some time, yes, no, he was.
They used to have fun with him, you know, at his expense all the time. And I even think maybe Cheryl Burton did. I don't know. But it's just a pity that this happened. And
it is.
I don't know what the rules are. I'm not sure anybody really does.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing. It's like, okay, I know Mark personally. I know Cheryl a little bit, too, as being a street reporter alongside her back in the day. And Mark, I've always known to be super fun-loving, like super affable, very talented, right? Just could make anybody laugh and that kind of thing. And he's also somebody who went to the line and danced with the line a little bit, occasionally crossed over the line, and you point out some of that stuff, too. And it just, that's one of the reasons he was loved. But here, no one can pretend to know exactly what happened between the two of them. It just, I think a lot of folks feel, like myself, you feel disappointment that this is how it ends for a guy like that who, you know, we all loved and loved watching and for so many years brought so much entertainment value to our sportscast. I just watched him for years and really enjoyed him.
Yeah, it's our loss, and you know, I think what it really gets down to is what was going on between him and Cheryl Burton, because the word ditzy, I mean, is that a taboo word? He didn't even say she was ditzy. He said she could play a ditzy, combative, whatever, on this fantasy DIY show that he was concocting in his brain, you know. And he's a wise guy. I don't know why. You know, maybe that would be offensive. It is offensive if you're not friends. If you are friends and you can joke, like Joan Esposito said when she was on with Mark for years, they went through this and she just laughed it off and said he was like your, I think her exact words, he was like your snot-nosed little brother, not a mean bone in his body. And I think that's the thing we in Chicago know about Mark, know him. I know him. He's a good guy. He's not a bad guy. And we would know that in Chicago. I think we are pretty good about knowing about our athletes, our stars, everybody. They interact with regular people and word gets out like this person's a jerk or this person, you know, isn't. So it's our loss ultimately. And it's a cautionary tale, but I'm not really sure what the message is. You know, I switched to the Grammys a little bit last night, watching, yeah. You know, the Final Four, where they're getting the brackets ready for the big NCAA tournament. And Megan Thee Stallion is the artist of the, or newcomer of the year, whatever, and she won for rap, whatever. And the lyrics to that song, Savage, and the one that she did with Cardi B last summer called WAP. I can't even tell you what it stands for. They are beyond filthy, you know.
Well, that acronym is something filthy, too, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, but it's okay for them. And so I think this is what caused a lot of people uncertainty and this confusion that you sense. What is okay, who can say it, and who can't? And it may not be the word. Well, obviously, it's not the word, because one of those words in that song that I can't mention is one that our former president, Donald Trump, got in great trouble for. They had an audio of him using that word. So it's entirely different when it comes from him. But this is kind of the world that Mark got caught up in. One thing I also said in that column was that I sure wouldn't want to be a comedian these days, because I don't know what the boundaries are. I guess you can make jokes about what you are, whatever your ethnicity is, your race, your gender, your sexual preference, your religion. You can do that, but better be careful about stepping outside, you know, those boundaries.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when you saw Carol Marine and Joan Esposito come to, you know, support Mark in this, because they've worked with him on the anchor desk, and they say, yeah, he lobs stuff like this at us all the time, and we didn't take it like that. There's not a mean-spirited bone in his body, and I found that to be true, too. I found Cheryl Burton to be extremely gracious also. I feel as if there is this thing that you also bring up. It's called intent. And when one person, did he intend to be mean-spirited with? Did he intend to be, you know, like, was this an ongoing pattern, that kind of thing? And those kinds of things, that matters, too. You know, ultimately, the management did decide that this was enough. And I understand it went all the way up the food chain over there, you know, really high up. And that ultimately they said that was enough. You know, it's just, you're right. What are the rules? When do you know, you know, when do you know that it's too much? I think there are clear examples that they do. And you've pointed out some of them that seem like none of us could say any of that stuff that appeared at the Grammys and get away with it on the air. None of us.
No.
And yet, you know, here we are. We're trying to figure it out, you know, and you see folks kind of slip into it, right?
Yes, you do. And, you know, I guess it would make anybody who is a parent with, you know, I'm a parent, but I got my kids are older. I don't know if they can do whatever they want to do. But you have a child, any age from like, you know, age 8 or 7, 8 up to 18, when you're parenting that child, and you're wondering what message is being given to them, and what do they do about that, and do we all live these kind of dual lives where we think this one thing, but we can't say it, and we'll say it with our friends. Hopefully there's not anybody recording it, or, you know, a secret phone recording or anything. And then there's the one we give to the public, and you live this kind of duplicitous way, which that's not good for anybody. And
no.
You know, here's the other thing. Women have come to Carol Marine, who is tougher and greater than Carol Marine in this city.
Right. No one.
You know, Carol's just wonderful, but they're white women. They're not black like Cheryl Burton. And maybe that is the difference right there, and maybe she's more sensitive to these things, and maybe she should be. I don't know, because that really does come down to something, I believe, between her and Mark that only those two really are aware of.
Yeah, that's where you kind of have to let it sit as a viewer, as someone who loved watching him. I think that's where it is. You have to say, well, we'll never really know exactly what happened there, and this was the decision that was ultimately made. I wonder if what he'll do. I know he's going to continue on his ESPN radio show, and people will love hearing him there. But it's you know, I suppose there are other opportunities, but my feeling from Mark is that he was 68. He had signed this nice lucrative deal for another 18 months, that he's going to get paid something, and that he wasn't necessarily going to even stay on there much longer after that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we all get to a point where it's like, oh, you either go out the door on your own or you get sent out the door. And it may have been something that management figured, well, listen, he's got this contract, we've got to pay him off. But, you know, the evening news isn't what it used to be. It doesn't drive stations, I don't think, the way it used to. So, you know, all that figures into it also. You just wish, I guess you wish somebody would go out on their own terms, you know.
Yeah.
But
he's good
on radio. He started in radio in Dayton, and I remember talking to him. He loves radio. So, mm-hmm. you know, he could be – he's got a great radio voice. He's witty. He's funny. He is a Chicago staple. I don't know what – we'd call him a legend, but he certainly is somebody that people in Chicago enjoy.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I'm glad he's not going away completely.
Yeah, me too, Rick. And I guess now if we want to see him, we got to go over to Chicago Cut and find his table and visit with him. That's the way to do it now. Thank you for the time today, okay, Rick? I got to run, but I really appreciate it.
All right,
take care,
take
okay?
Care.